drinking spiritual milk anymore. But rather, let's move on to whole foods. Let's grow. Let's become more mature. Likewise, in Hebrews chapter 5, we see there that author is actually writing to us, actually questioning, why are we still drinking, spiritual milk? Why are we still immature? Why are we not actually serving others? Why are we not actually feeding others at this point? And our covenant series has kind of been our call, the same respect as those two authors, to call us as a body to go from immaturity into maturity. A step further than just being a casual church attender, but rather someone who is fully invested in the body of Christ, in loving each other, in loving the Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And so today, we're actually going to be looking at service and how we serve, particularly the body. We've had a lot of different sermons talking about outreach and talking about tithing, but this one is a little bit more tuned in with what you're doing on a daily basis for the body. We've had many a sermon before. I don't need to give to you the 25 different ministries or so that More Life leads. Particularly, what I would say is that the Holy Spirit will prompt you on how and where you are to lead. That might be a ministry that's already organized here at More Life, youth or children's church or serving in our cafe or cleanup team, whatever it might be. However, there might be other ministries that you guys are going to be placed on your heart from the Holy Spirit that you are called to lead yourselves. So I'm not going to go through the full list of them. I'll talk about a few of them today, just as examples. But truly, what I desire is that as a church, that we be led by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we would go forth and go to the callings that He has placed on your heart in particular. You in particular, not like Brandon, not like Sam, not like anyone else. You have a specific mission, a specific purpose in this church to serve. And I can't tell you what that is, but the Holy Spirit desires to prompt you in that. So today we're looking at service, our care for the body. And ultimately really what I want to hone in on is why do we serve? And then whenever it becomes difficult serving, because we're people, because it's not always easy every week to get up and come to church early to serve in children's church, because it's not always easy to show up weekly for youth, whatever it might be. Whenever it becomes difficult, what do we do next as a body? How do we keep going forth with the same vision, with the same heart, with the same desire to see Christ's kingdom come? And so that's what we're looking at. There's two verses that immediately came to my mind. Did not give them to TJ. I gave TJ like 9 verses. I think the classic Aaron joke is that over the next 3 hours, we'll be going through the entire Bible, whatever it might be. But Danny spoke for 1:15, so I can go a little bit longer than that. I know that. Okay. So in John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus is giving a prayer and praying for unity for the body. And he tells us that the world will recognize us, will recognize him, sorry, will recognize him as being sent from God based upon our unity as a body. As well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with a genuine affection and delight in honoring each other. So why do we serve as a body? Let's quickly answer that. Why do we serve as a body? We serve because we delight in honoring each other. We serve the body, those around us, with such love and compassion because it's a testimony to what Christ has done in my life. You guys with me on that? Because if we can't get past this first step, the rest of the sermon really won't make sense. Why do we serve? We serve because we desire to honor each other, and we deserve because we delight in giving the Lord praise and how we honor each other. It gives a testimony that Christ has done a good work in us and around us whenever we give back service to our body. The world will see it and say that this must be true, that Christ came and did a mighty work in these people. Because I know that that unity does not happen naturally. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. There has to be something else going on in these people's lives, and not just a desire to be a volunteer. Amen. Consequently, though, people have been turned off by the church because all they look in, all they see is a holy volunteer club. They see people giving hours after hours, lack of appreciation in it, and they often feel like they've lost the vision, lost the purpose behind it. And many that go astray from the church are often ones that were serving diligently before, but they lost heart. And what a shame that is. That they poured and poured and poured out so much. And now they've left broken and bitter. And ultimately, because they couldn't get past that second question there, what do we do whenever it becomes difficult to serve? Let's read John chapter 15, verse 13, even. This is some of our hearts, too, as we think about service. There is no greater love, this is Jesus speaking, there's no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friend. I consider this whenever I talk about service because many of us would proclaim that verse. No greater love than lay down our lives. However, our mindset is, it's really hard to lay down a Sunday morning to wake up early to go to Children's Church. It's really hard to wake up on a Saturday and devote that Saturday my time to go serve the body in another way. It's really hard to give up my Wednesday afternoon to go serve the body in the youth group. And so I hope that is even a challenge in ourselves. That as we read that verse, and many of us, as a man, I think to myself, man, I would lay down my life for those around me. I would lay down my life for my family and my friends, but am I willing to lay down my time for them? Am I willing to lay down, you know, the hours to give them such a devotion, a consistency that they need? Am I willing to do that? And I hope that by the end of this sermon, that our hearts will be changed to say, yes, not only am I willing to lay down my life, I'm willing to lay down every day in between for the body of Christ. Let's solidify first this relationship of faith and works and righteousness. I feel like it's always important to go right back to this. We're not justified by our works. So I want to read in two different places in Galatians chapter 5. Let's start there. Verses 1 through 6. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. As a verse in itself that will preach. Someone came here today not to hear about service, but just to hear that verse. So I'll read it again. I know it to be true. So Christ has truly set you free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Verse 2. Listen, I'll tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. If you are trying to gain the favor of God by serving in nursery, then you must serve every single day for the rest of your life. And you won't be able to make it, because you won't do it with a good heart, I guarantee you. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us. I'm going to read it again. I want it really to hone in. But we who live by the Spirit, let it be me. Let it be me. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to me. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised. There's no benefit in my works or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Expressing itself in love. And that's the heart of service. That I'm going to honor the body, honor every single person around me by expressing my love through my actions. Let's read in James chapter 2. Verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Suppose you see a nun in the sanctuary, in the bathroom, and you say, someone should really take care of that. What good does that do? Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that all ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see his faith and his actions work together. You see his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. I wonder if he said it. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by different roads. Verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Those passages do not contradict each other. I'm going to make a very clear statement here. There is no justification in my work. I can never earn the righteousness that God gives me. There is no amount of service, no amount of how much I love my brothers and sisters around me, no matter how many Saturdays I give, there's no work that I could ever give to earn this righteousness. There's no justification in my work. But there is an expression of my faith in my work. I express the love of Christ whenever I do work for the body around me. I show that there is perfect unity in Brandon and the body around me whenever I love my brothers and sisters well by serving them. And it gives testimony that what Jesus Christ did is true because of how I love the body around me. Chapman? Throughout Scripture, we see expressions of our faith by obedience in our works. I just want to go through a few of them. I want you guys to be on the same page. But this is not anything new. We see it throughout Scripture where obedience and works are an expression of faith. Noah was given a promise, given a direction from the Lord. He was said, there's going to be a flood that comes. At that point, Noah was given a very clear detail of the boat he was to build. Sunday school story. You guys with me? Praise God that Noah had the faith to follow suit. There was many days of labor. I wish I had an estimate. I don't. I'll make one up. It was a year. It was a year of labor that Noah devoted to building a boat because the Lord gave him direction. He had to work. He had to show up. He had to serve the body above and beyond what he already had to do. You know? He had to cultivate the land. He had to feed his family. He had to do everything else. The baby was waking up early. He was sitting with the baby. He was rocking back and forth. Not only that, God gave him a direction. Hey, this is the promise. A flood's coming. What are you going to do about it? Build a boat. So he was going to add on top of that a service to his family because the Lord gave him a promise. The Israelites were given a promise of land. We know this one as well. The Israelites were given a promise of land. It was promised to them. It was going to be a land filled with milk and honey. It was going to be a blessing. That land was already occupied by many a nation that does not honor the Lord. And so they had to work. They had to serve each other. They had to fight many a battle to claim every inch of that land. It was labor. Jesus had the faith to bless the bread and the fish to multiply the 5,000. Praise God. What a mighty miracle. The faith to see it come. Guess what? Jesus then plated, or basketed, as you want to say, the food for 5,000 people. He touched every single loaf of bread and tore it apart for 5,000. You guys remember when it took 45 minutes to get your food at the gala? It took much longer, I'm sure, to touch each piece of bread, to break it apart, put it in a basket, to group together the people in 50s or 100s, to then pass out the food. There was labor to the faith. You guys understand how it comes both? It wasn't a work that ultimately was righteousness, but ultimately it was an expression of their faith where they were laboring and toiling. So when Jesus promised to me that even greater things than these will you do, do I believe that I will receive and see those greater things without work and labor? I'll say it again. So when Jesus promised to me that greater things than these will you do, and I've seen many a great thing in Scripture, praise God for it, do I believe that I will receive without any type of obedience and labor and service in them? I see it in Scripture that this happens both ways. They have faith, and then they respond in obedience. In the same way for me and my service, that I have faith that the Lord is good. I have faith that the Lord has told me that I am to direct others and tell them about Christ. So my obedience is that I will wake up early on a Sunday morning, way too early, and I will spend time with the Lord because I know this is what I have been called to do on this day, to prepare a message for all of you. And so that's my obedience. There is labor in it. However, as we serve, I want to get back more a little bit to the practical in all of this. As we serve, there are many pitfalls because we're people. I'm a person, very fallible. Let my youth leaders tell you. Very much so. There's many a pitfall. And as you serve with others, there's going to be some things that pop up that make your heart a little weary, that break you down a little bit more. You become a little bit more distressed. And suddenly, the fire that used to be there for serving the Lord is no longer the same fire that was there, 3 months down the line. And so, the texts go on read. You don't show up as much as you said you were going to show up. Things become a lot more difficult in your service. Because the fruit that you thought was going to happen whenever you heard the vision hasn't come to actual fruition at this point, and you grow weary. And so I have a few questions for you that I want you to consider. And the responses to these questions are just things that have really, I've chewed on each of these, And they have been things of convictions I feel like the Lord has given to me as responses to them as I've grown weary in different areas, or a question, am I still called to do this? So the first question I have for you, that I think that many of you that served in the church before can probably ask yourself, or even if you're not serving right now, maybe you consider this. Should I serve in only my gifting, in only the areas I feel called and anointed? Should I serve in only my gifting, in only the areas I feel called and anointed? Praise God when you do serve in those areas. Oftentimes it turns into much easier work. However, I do not believe that I see in Scripture that I am only called to serve in areas that I feel anointed in. Because I know that Jesus commanded for us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. That was a command given to each of us. It was not a command given to specific individuals that are evangelists. And yet I see in Scripture also that there's people that have the gift of evangelism. Praise God for it. Let them execute it well and use it well. However, the command was still a blanket to all of us. And so I know my call to service is still to make disciples of all nations, regardless of my gifting in that area. It might look different how we do it. Danny Anfinger, tremendous evangelist. Praise God for it. I'm not gifted in that respect, but my call and his call are exactly the same still. Give God glory, brings others to Christ. Praise God. Likewise, I think of Moses. Moses was actually given the direction to be the leader of Israel, to bring them out of slavery. However, Moses' initial response back to Christ, or back to God, was, I'm not a gifted speaker. I'm not a gifted communicator. He wasn't going to serve in his area that he felt gifted or talented or anointed in. However, the calling was still his own. Praise God when you do get to serve in your calling, in your anointing. Make great fruit come from it. Praise God when you serve in areas that you're not anointed in, because it gives God more glory. Because you can't say anything with yourself. It had to be Christ. I think of that every time I go to a 4- and 5-year-old. It's not me. It must be Christ. Number 2, do you retire from service? Do you retire from service? No. Not retire from service. I think of Abraham. Abraham was given the promise approximately age 75. You're going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to be a father of a great nation. Tremendous calling. He did not see it come to fruition, until he is age 100. 25 years of waiting for that promise to come. However, the promise finally came. You know, she's pregnant. She has the baby. She has Isaac. He wasn't done. He still wasn't retired. He was given the promise that he would be the father of a great nation. So 100 plus was actually the years that he was seeing that promise come true. It wasn't enough that he just gave birth or it was part of giving birth to a son. He actually had to see every year after to bring Isaac up in the ways of the Lord, to respect God, to know the way that he should walk if he was really going to be a father of a nation. So no, I do not believe that you age out of anything. My grandmother, 80 plus, serving in a nursery. Praise God for her. She loves to rock your baby. Number three, does money work instead? Does money work instead? I believe, I think about this story, the woman who gave two coins. And she was said that she gave far more than others because they gave out of their abundance. Money is a blessing as you give it. Praise God for it. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, so he will always provide in one way or another. And praise God that you might be a part of that movement or that way of providing. You are doing God's work as you give. Yes. However, I think to myself, the commodity that we all have equally of is time. And get this, just the number of hours in the day. You and I all have different years ahead of us. And so if I have 24 hours to give, you have 24 hours to give. And I want to make sure that I know that I'm giving more to the Lord. Not that it's some comparison game. Not that I can boast about I gave 5 hours and you only gave 1 hour. No, it's nothing like that. But I can make it very clear. If I have such a set commodity, which is time, and I give it to the Lord, I'm honoring him with that. You know, like that is every bit of what I'm called to do. And so, yes, I believe that money is something that you might give. Praise God for it. Thank you for you guys how you gave to the gala. And it's another, I just need to thank you guys for it. God gave abundantly. You guys gave abundantly. However, time, I don't believe is, you know, the giving, the yin and yang to it. I don't believe that you just give more money and then suddenly you don't have to serve. Number four, what if I don't feel it currently? It's becoming difficult. What if I don't feel it currently? Should I keep serving? I think about the harvest. I think about planting and the toil of a farmer. The farmer feels responsibility throughout the planting season. He might start off, right off the bat, having put the seed in the ground, excited for the fruition, excited for the harvest. And there's many a day in between before he actually sees any growth. There's many a day in between before there's actual fruit that is produced. And so, does the farmer's attitude change what his responsibility is? Does the farmer's attitude change what his responsibility is? No. His responsibility remains the same regardless of how he is feeling that day. Whether he is hopeful and expectant of the harvest that is to come, or whether it is a hard day, it's another sunny, blasting day that hasn't rained, his responsibility is still the same. I think to myself as a father and as a husband. You guys will identify with this. I am still a father and a husband regardless of how I woke up that day, in a good mood or a bad mood. I have the same responsibility because the day ends with why. I'm going to do the same exact thing. Same responsibility. It doesn't matter how I feel in the moment. So I may not currently feel it. I may not currently be invested in it or see the vision anymore. And I might be really frustrated with leadership. All of it. But yet I continue to serve because I know what God has first called me to do. And that is the responsibility that I am called to carry forth. I want to read to you, though, and there's two verses here. I love them. Because they go in tandem. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, period. If that was the verse in and of itself, man, I would never make the cut. I can never just have Christ's attitude. Thank God that there's verse 13 here, too. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You're currently not feeling it, but you must have the attitude of Christ. That's what Paul just told us in verse 5. And then verse 13, praise God that the Holy Spirit is at work inside Brandon, and he can change my attitude whenever I allow him to. And God is working inside Brandon to give him a new desire and power to do what pleases him. I hope it's true. So when the days get weary, when you get overwhelmed, someone didn't put something back up the right way. You know, go through the full list of things that give you frustration. I'm sure you have many more than just that. But yet, you can still have the attitude of Christ. Because of verse 13, the Holy Spirit at work inside of me changing my attitude. If you don't allow verse 13 to happen, though, you'll run dry. You'll become weary. You will leave the church because it will hurt you. And why would you want to remain there? I don't want that for you, though. I don't want that for you. Would I be called to serve in areas that I have been hurt before? Would I be called to serve in areas where I've been hurt before? Now I'm going to get a little bit tougher. I started with a preface of addressing some of those hurts with the leadership, whether that be directly or with other leadership, godly counsel. Not with your besties on Facebook, but with godly counsel. And whenever I get this is another caveat, you know, just conviction that Brandon's been given. I don't have to express that frustration and talk about the hurt with everyone. I'm typically called to talk about it with one person. And it may not even be the person that caused me hurt. However, I've become, as I talk to more and more people, more riled up, more entangled in my sin and my bitterness. And so typically, God gives you one godly counsel. What I've seen in my life gives me a single godly counsel to go to speak life back into me, as opposed to telling the world. And that's my plug to get off Facebook. But I think about Jesus and how Jesus chose Judas to walk 3 years with him. Jesus knew, we see it in Scripture, that Judas throughout that time was actually stealing, you know, from the little treasury, the pocket, the money that they had as a group. Jesus was continually hurt by that. He wasn't, you know, taken off guard. It's not like he had a lapse of judgment as he chose Judas to walk with him, someone who was eventually going to betray him and hurt him greatly. Yet, he knew he was supposed to walk with Jesus for 3 years regardless. So, are you still called to serve in areas that you've been hurt before? Has God changed your calling? Has he? I don't believe so. Would God separate us? This is the vice versa to this question, though. Would God separate us to bring us back later healthy? Yes, praise God for that. So that is like in conjunction with that question before. If you get hurt, maybe there is a season that you step away from that calling, just a little bit of time distance. I think of Moses. The calling to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, as a young man, he saw the injustices. He took advantage of it in a way, or he led it in such a way that was not honoring to the Lord, led to murder. Likewise, after that, there was a 40-year break that he was away from his people. The calling on Moses didn't change, though. God came back to him and said, hey, now is the time that you go after these people and you bring them out of Egypt. So will God separate you from the ministry for a period of time to bring you back in reconciliation because he's developing your character? Praise God. In verse 13 again here, Philippians chapter 2, let it be that he changed my desires. Sometimes that period of time is a week. Sometimes that period of time is 40 years. But I don't believe the calling on your life has changed one bit. There might be seasons that you step away from children's church. There might be seasons that you step away from youth. But the calling on your life to serve the body, it hasn't changed. It has not gone away. And it won't. I have a list for you of some practical things that you can do as service becomes difficult. And so I'm going to challenge you to grab those green cards if you don't have a journal. We're going to write it down. Everyone can get a pen. So there you go. I wish I would have put out my little note cards. I didn't normally do that for you. But you guys have paper in front of you. Grab something. Write on your neighbor's hand if you got to. So why has service become difficult? And I want to give you guys some practical ways that we can overcome this. Number one, service has become difficult in the body because we have lost our vision or you've added too much to the vision. God spoke to you on day one. Go serve the youth. God spoke to you day one, you know, go be a part of the men's ministry, go be a part of the jail ministry, period. In the longevity of serving, there's going to be a part of that season where you lose the vision of what you've been called to do. Or you're going to end up adding more and more things, more and more programs and activities to it. I have to bring myself back continually. as a male youth pastor, what has God actually called me to do? Because I can add event after activity, you know, spend all the time with students, and yet I have to ask the Lord, Lord, is this still honoring you? I know it's good, it seems right, but is this truly honoring to you? Because there's a way that seems right to man, but it's folly. You know, there's a way that seems wise, but to the Lord it's not. And so I want to make sure that I'm honing in, Holy Spirit, on whatever you have for me in my ministry. And so the practical way, whenever you have lost your vision or you've added too much to the vision, you've taken on way too much to your plate, the practical way is, once again, sit with God, physically sit with God, and then also sit with leadership, if there's leadership to that ministry. Come sit with me, come sit with Amanda, come sit with DJ, as you're part of the worship team, whatever it might be. Sit with leadership, and then write out the vision again. Just write it out on a note card. Write it specifically. And then, as you go back to it, you become weary again because you're adding too many activities to it, you can read your note card. Very practical. And say, no, that really wasn't a part of the vision that God gave, you know, my leadership. That really wasn't part of the vision that God gave to me of what I'm called to do. So I'm not going to do it. Number two, you do not rest. Why has service become difficult? You don't rest. You're exhausted. You're tired. You don't nap enough. Well, praise God for Sunday nap. You don't nap enough. You don't Sabbath. I want you, this is the very practical part to this, say no to others by testing with the Holy Spirit if you are. People have great plans for your life. They have great plans for where you should serve. They do. And how you should serve. Say no to others and say yes to God. So simple. You know, say no to others, say yes to God. Now, there is times where I have fallen under the leadership of my elders, and I'm like, well, that's not really what I'm called to do. But yet, because of the leadership over me saying, hey, we need you here at this time to do this, I will respect that. I will show up and honor the authority over me. However, there is a testing in that of, am I honoring, you know, the leadership over me, or I'm just making myself busy? God doesn't need you busy. He really does not need you busy. He desires for your heart to be healthy, though. He desires for you to be rested in how you serve. Why has service become difficult? Number three, you lack intimacy with God. You lack intimacy with God. So practical, so easy. Love God's word again. And now here's the real practical one that I've really honed in on lately. Prayer walk. I found in the mornings as I'm having my quiet time, I get so distracted with the day. There's so many things that I feel like start adding up, and as I sit on the, you know, my couch or whatever it is, a chair, and I read God's word, suddenly the list gets longer and longer and longer. The practical in that, as I know I'm trying to pray, trying to spend time with the Lord, is I stand up and I start pacing. I look kind of crazy. I've paced around this room a whole lot, actually. And what it does is it hones me in, you know, just the physical movement of it all. It hones me in, okay, God, I'm focusing on you. Like, I feel jittery, so let me release some of that energy. I'll walk in a circle. Just walk in a circle, and I pray to the Lord. Very practical. Prayer walk. Another practical tip in that, as you want to have intimacy with the Lord, and your phone keeps going off and off and off, you're not disturbed, but also as you come to your mind, all the things that you have to do in the day. Because that's how the enemy gets you. He's going to let you really fly and remind you of all your to-do tasks for that day. Keep going. Here's the practical tip. Have a notepad right beside you. Put in bullet point number one, and then write down, oh, I need to call this person. All right, go back to prayer. Oh, something else pops in your head. Number two, write it down. That way you don't forget it. Because I get such anxiety in me that I'm going to forget something. My wife makes fun of me. I have 100 alarms on my phone. There's random things. Sometimes they say rotisserie chicken. And I knew for that day what I needed to do. But it's still there on my phone at, like, you know, 12:07 on PM. Point being, though, don't set alarms on your phone. Just make a list. And as the Lord, or not, if the enemy is bringing things to your mind of all the to-dos in the day, write it down, take care of it later. Number four, you are becoming difficult to serve because you lack grace for others and for leadership. It becomes difficult to serve because you lack grace for others and for leadership. You will not always like the leadership over you. 90% of the time, you won't like the leadership over you. I almost guarantee you, you won't agree with everything they do. You won't agree with how they said it. You think to yourself all the ways that you would have done it better. I hear you. Been there. and you lack grace for others because they don't serve in the same capacity, they haven't been called to do the same things as you, and you're diligent and they're not, and all the things that well up inside of you and it becomes difficult to show back up on a Wednesday night because you think to yourself, I'm just going to have to deal with this all over again and no one's going to help me. Go through the list. Practical tip, overcoming this. Get your hands dirty and work alongside them. You want to love your leadership? You want to love those around you? Just spend a little bit of time with them. Have a game night. You know, say, hey, let me just get together with you and let's go clean, you know, the bathroom. You know, that always has to be clean, whatever it is. When you get your hands physically dirty with them, suddenly you remind yourself, oh, they're not some, you know, ambiguous, far-off person. This is a real person that's loved by God. And whenever I spend time with them, I can love them too. But yet, often enough, my heart gets ugly. It gets deceitful. You know, it's not it's malicious at times. Ultimately, because I haven't spent time just with the person beside me recently. And then whenever I'm beside them, I once again hear their struggles of what they're going through. And I have a lot more empathy and grace for what they're dealing with. Number five, service has become difficult. This one speaks to a group of us in here. You're apathetic to what God has said to do. You're apathetic. You do not care what God has commanded you to do. Easy way to overcome this, very practical. Get your same little note card, whatever you have in front of you. Write down one thing that the Lord has commanded of you. Write down one thing and then do it well for a month. I get overwhelmed by all the things I should be doing. I do. You know, I should be eating breakfast, I should be taking my vitamins, I should be working out every day, going through the list. I get overwhelmed by it. Choose one thing. You know, do that well for a month. Then take on something else. Don't be apathetic to what the Lord has for you. You might feel apathetic because you're overwhelmed by all the things you know you should be doing. Because you come to a Sunday morning, you spend time in your small group, whatever it is, and people are talking about all the things they're doing, all the time they're spending with the Lord, all the time they're praying. And you're like, well, I'm just a little baby Christian, but I'm not doing any of that. And you get overwhelmed, and so it's much easier to be apathetic to what the Lord has called you to do than think to yourself, I can do all those things. No, do one thing well. Maybe the one thing right off the bat, spend a consistent quiet time with the Lord every day. I'll do it for 15 minutes. Write it down, do it well for 1 month. After that, the Lord might tell you very clearly, I need you to serve in nursery. Okay, Lord, I will do it. Do it consistently. Do it with a good heart. Do it with the Holy Spirit leading you. Sorry about that. I'm about to bring it to a close in a second if our band wants to come back up. Part of my service to the body, part of my, what I would consider my gifting, I feel like the Lord established it inside of myself, was exhortation, is to encourage the body. And I always feel like the most gifted preacher or teacher or communicator. I often am awkward at times. I'm weird. But the Lord has given me so specifically that I am called to encourage the body and to do it well. If I'm going to do it, let me do it well. And so I have some verses for you I want to read to you to encourage you guys. I believe that they're straight. I mean, it is God's word. It's directly from God. I don't want to add anything to it. I want you to be encouraged as a body that you can serve and you can serve God well, that you can love those around you again, that I know you've been serving for ages and seasons and you have not seen fruit, you have not seen any harvest, and you become really weary, but you don't have to remain that way because of what Christ Jesus has done and what Christ Jesus will do, because we've seen it throughout Scripture. How he's been faithful before, so he'll be faithful again. So I want you to just dwell in these verses that I'm about to read to you, to be encouraged by them, to soak it in what God is calling of us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let me not get tired of doing the things the Lord has commanded Brandon to do. At just the right time, I will reap a harvest of blessing if I don't give up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since I am surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let me strip aside every weight that slows me down, especially the sin that so easily trips me up. And let me run with endurance the race that God has set before me. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Let it be said. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge. He will give on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Praise God for it. Let it be said of this church that we have not grown weary of doing good. That I will continue to serve the calling that God has placed specifically on my life, regardless if I feel equipped to do it or not. Praise God that he can change my attitude to match his own. Praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells me, that empowers me, that has not abandoned me. You want to be committed to the church. You want to have a covenant with our body. You want to love others well. Then be led by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do. Be led by the Holy Spirit and love and honor and serve each other. Then the world will know that Christ is who he was, because there is such perfect unity inside of this body. Because of how I love and honor and serve my brothers and sisters around me. We are not looking for some type of say yes culture. We are looking for workers who are willing to give everything to Christ because he deserves all. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want it to be said of this church that there was good and faithful servants here. I want it to be said of you that when you stand before the Lord, he looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did finish the race well. You grew weary, yes, but you rose again because of the Holy Spirit at work in you. So, church, I want you to consider this. Can those that have lost their vision in how they serve and what they are doing, lost their vision in their service, can they gain it again? Yes. Can those mundane things that you've done week in and week out have a fresh purpose again? Yes. Can those who are complacent become driven in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can those places that hurt and no longer feel right to serve in, can they be healed? Yes. Can dry land that are bare, that have not produced fruit in years and long seasons, can they produce fruit again? Yes. Can dry bones live again? Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God for it. And church, if I have the faith that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, that he bore every sin inside of Brandon, and that he rose and defeated death and Hades, if I have that kind of faith in his scripture, why do I not believe every bit of God's word? Why don't I take it more seriously? Why do I not believe that, and take it more seriously, that God has predestined good works for Brandon to complete? That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Why do I not take it more seriously whenever Jesus said that whoever welcomes children, welcome him? That is Mark chapter 9, verse 37. Why do I not believe that blessed are the feet that bring the good news? That's Isaiah 52, verse 7. Wouldn't I give everything? Couldn't I give everything to Christ? Does he not deserve all? All of my service. Anything that I can give. Yes, my money, but give him my time, Lord. Take it all. For you and your kingdom only. Let it be so. Let me pray a blessing over you guys. Stand with me. We're about to worship. normally share with my youth group what God has been showing me lately. Sometimes it doesn't apply directly to the message that I'm giving that night. The line that the Lord has placed in my heart over this last week, it's a song from Hillsong. It's a little bit older. It says, "The cry of my heart is to bring you praise." And I've chewed on that line all week. The cry of my heart is to give praise to God. Let it be so. And there's times that it does not seem like that's the case. But praise God that He can give me fresh desires. That He can give me a new spirit. My Jesus, let me take seriously the calling You have placed in my life. Let me take seriously the calling I see in Your Scripture. Lord, You rose from the grave. You defeated death. So let everything else in this word be true. Let me believe it to be true. Lord, that You're going to bless my feet as I bring the good news. That You're going to bless me as I welcome children. Lord, let it be so this body. That we serve each other faithfully. That we love each other well. That when we see distressed hearts, that we run after them. Seek healing for them. Praise God when we see it come. Lord, I love You. Lord, I thank You that this is a serving body. Lord, I'm getting for not saying it before. It's been a faithful church. 20 years, 18 years of that, we're setting up and tearing down. You guys have faithfully served. Praise God for it. You'll have beautiful gems on your fountains in heaven because of it. But God is still calling us deeper. He's calling us for more. And I want to see dry and weary places inside of myself healed. And I want to see dry and weary places inside of you healed. And I want to see fresh fruit. And I don't want you to grow weary of doing good. I want you to be hopeful for what the Lord has promised that He will do. Serve faithfully as long as the season might be. Give everything to Christ because He deserves it all. Oh, Jesus, I love You. Lord, I love this church. I love Your voice and I love Your presence. Let it be said of us that we're going to be good and faithful servants. Just You said that we're going to be faithful, God. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. God, just let me be a worker. Whatever You call to me, just let me be a worker. Lord, it doesn't have to be glorified or dignified. Just to be in Your house and to serve You, to be in Your presence, to serve the bride of Christ. There's nothing sweeter than be a slave to Christ. I love You, Jesus. I thank You for this day. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.